thank you. Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Melanie Talia joins us, President and CEO of the New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation. Talk about drones. How you doing, Melanie?
I'm well, Tommy. How are you this morning?
I am okay. Tell people that don't know, perhaps, about the New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation.
Sure. We've been around for 30-plus years. Our mission is to make New Orleans a safer place to live, to work, and to play. And we do that through a variety of means, mostly training, advanced training for our police officers, and providing equipment and supplies that, for whatever reason, are just not in the municipal budget.
And some of those equipment and supplies, I guess it'd be somewhere between manpower, equipment, and supplies when you're talking about drones, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the drones in some places are the wave of the future, and in other places, drones have been around for a really long time. But they've impacted public safety in tremendous ways. They've really made a difference in the cities where they have been used. And we've even seen that here in New Orleans with the fleet of 9 that we've had for about 2 years now.
So what are you guys going to do? What are you donating or providing?
So the city is looking at drones as first responders. So when a 911 call comes out, while an officer might be dispatched, an officer may not. The first responder to that scene or to that call would be a drone. And it's DFR is the short term for it. Mm-hmm. DFRs are being used around the country, and they're
drone
being used
first responder, I'm guessing?
Yes. Okay. Yes, drones as first responders.
Gotcha.
You're being used extensively in our neighboring parish in Jefferson. So the city is looking at a pilot project, drones as first responders, in the NOPD 8th district, which includes the French Quarter.
So I'm trying to figure out how that works. So the drone goes out, and does it interact with the people, or it just takes a picture or shows the people back at drone control what's going on, and then they figure out from there what they need to do?
More or less, that's more or less how it works, Tommy. Yes, so the 911 call comes out. A pilot who is in the command center will launch the drone, and the drone will fly immediately to the scene of that call, and the drone will be able to assess the situation. It may be a situation where a police officer is not required. It could be someone who needs mental health services or some other service. That doesn't mean you need to dispatch an officer, in which case officers can go about their business doing other things. If it is a scene where an officer needs to be dispatched, of course, an officer will be dispatched. It's a great tool, and we've seen it used oftentimes to track a fleeing suspect. So obviously the drone would be able to see a fleeing suspect much more quickly than would an officer who's on the ground, be that officer on foot or in a car. And of course, we all know that the French Quarter gets mighty crowded sometimes. Mm-hmm. So the drone can get from point A to point B much more quickly. Obviously, it avoids all the foot traffic and the vehicular traffic.
So how expensive are these things, Melanie?
Well, it varies depending upon the drone and how many drones you have and how many docking stations you have and how you anticipate using them. Mm-hmm. The pilot project that the city is considering has a price tag all in of about $750,000 over the course of 5 years.
And how many drones are we talking about?
Ideally, it would be 4. I mean, 1 is great, but, you know, drones have limited flying power mm-hmm. and limited flying time. So an investigation might take longer than that drone is able to stay up in the air. So it's always good to have at least 1 backup. But we're looking at, ideally, we would have 4.
So they like $250,000 each?
Give or, well, $750 over the course of 5 years. So, yes, give or take. That's a kind of a round number, yes.
And I'm just, you know, my kid's got a drone. I certainly hope it didn't cost that much. This is some kind of, I guess, commercial grade or something. I'm just trying to figure out the drone thing here, why it's so much.
Yes. It would be a commercial grade. And they would be funded exclusively with, at least the 3 that we would fund, are funded exclusively with private monies. There's no public monies involved here. It's a pilot project. The drones can fly about 20-ish, 25 miles maybe per hour. They can stay up about 20 to 40 minutes, depending. So they obviously have capabilities that go beyond the, you know, a drone that we might just have at home for our children or to take out to a picnic somewhere.
Mm-hmm. What does NOPD say about these things?
Well, the New Orleans Police Department is definitely on board for drones as first responders. Captain Palumbo in the NOPD 8th District has been spearheading the project on NOPD's behalf.
And these are primarily used as first responders or only as first responders?
Absolutely. They are used as first responders. You know, I think there's a lot of confusion about license plate readers, sometimes referred to as LPRs. Folks are talking about facial recognition. They're talking about surveillance. That is not drone as first responder. A drone as first responder, the device sits in its docking station, or for all practical purposes, its battery. When the 911 call comes out, the drone is launched by a pilot who flies it directly to that location and then does whatever needs doing to manage that scene.
Tell me about some of the other needs of NOPD and what you all are looking at.
Sure. You know, one of the things we recently launched was the Emergency Medical Responder Program. There was a gap in public safety where emergency medical services are not always allowed into a scene. That's their official protocol because the scene is not safe for the EMS workers. So we have now cross-trained New Orleans police officers in life-saving treatments. So if EMS is not allowed on a scene or if NOPD is on the scene first, officers are able to provide life-sustaining methods and life-sustaining means to persons who have been victims of oftentimes violent crimes where every minute counts, Tommy, every minute.
So there
and
might be...
Also,
go ahead, Melanie, I didn't mean to interrupt. No, I'm just saying, so it's a situation where maybe the shooter might still be around. I don't know what's going on. A crime scene's not secure, but somebody needs help. So rather than wait until it's safe for EMT, that's when the police take over?
Absolutely, and that's a great example where a drone would be a wonderful tool to have. Right now, if a call comes out, you have to wait, obviously, for the officer or the EMS or the fire department to come on scene and to begin making assessments. Because drones can get to scenes so much more quickly, then you have an eye in the sky that can tell you the scene is secure or the scene is not secure. We need EMS. We need fire. Perhaps there's traffic. Perhaps there's a different way we need to route emergency vehicles to get to you and to save your life.
When it comes to money, how do you guys raise your money?
We are primarily funded through private donors.
And if somebody wants to get involved with that, how would they do it?
They just go to nopjf.org. We have an online donation process, and they can donate to any of their favorite NOPD districts or units or projects, including if they are interested in supporting drones as first responders.
So getting back to what we were talking about, some of the other things you're helping with, one of them is to train officers as, medical respondents?
Correct, emergency medical responders.
And what are some of the other things, Melanie, you all are looking at or doing or have done?
Well, you know what, we're working on a project right now. The New Orleans Police Department has put out an alert for a missing individual. I believe he's a young man of about 22 years old. And one of the things the Police Foundation does is we work in partnership with Lamar Billboards and with Ring. We push out that information so that it can go up on billboards across the city and beyond. And so that if the individual happened to be on a Ring camera somewhere, that they also might be located. The individual that NOPD is searching for right now is Kamon Terrell. We do believe he is in danger. So we hope that we find him quickly and safely and bring him home.
You guys help at Mardi Gras, too. You do a lot of stuff, don't you?
We do a lot at Mardi Gras, including making sure all of our first responders, be they New Orleans Police Department or visiting law enforcement, have food and hydration, get a chance to get off the street where they can, get some rest, and get back to it. Because it takes a lot to ensure the revelry of Mardi Gras and that everyone is safe and secure.
If somebody's listening and they're on a fence right now about donating or not, what would you tell them?
I would tell them absolutely. You know, we have seen tremendous progress in the New Orleans Police Department. In 2022, with some political, not some political, I'm sorry, some public safety strategists that the Police Foundation engaged, we started to see a reduction in crime. Chief Kirkpatrick has come. She built on that foundation. She brought her own strategies. And we are seeing it, Tommy. We're seeing it work year over year. Violent crime numbers going down year over year. Homicides, armed robberies. The list goes on. Chief Kirkpatrick and her team are doing an incredible job, but we are all feeling the crunch of the fiscal crisis, and they are going to need our help. So if you are able to assist canine, mounted officers in your district, we would encourage you to do so.
And that would be how? A cash donation? Or how do they send a check somewhere? What do they do? I'm trying to raise some money for you here, Melanie. And I'm trying to.
Well, that's, I appreciate that. Yes, we can go online. The website is NOPJF, as in New Orleans Police Justice Foundation, .org. And it's a very easy process to go online. You put in your credit card and you make a donation. Every dime fights crime. Every dime. No donation is too small, Tommy. No donation.
Thank you, Melanie. I appreciate it. That and your efforts.
All right. Thank you, Tommy. We appreciate everything you do as well.
Thank you. Melanie Italia, President and CEO of the New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation, making our way through this Tuesday morning, August the 18th. We started talking to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director, talking about LSU fall practice and a video that was posted that Lane Kiffin wasn't crazy about that was taken down. You can go back, listen to that if you like. Cameron Henry was with us, Louisiana State Senator and Senate President. We spoke with him about the convention center hotel project and some of the details that have to be worked out and how this tax credit thing could go on for 45 years. We talked with David Elias, Dr. David Elias, an orthopedic surgeon with Ortho LA, about Jordan Tyson and his hamstring injury and hamstring injuries in general and why they can be so problematic. Then we talked with Steve Geller, WWL sports director, about the joint practices, what he's seen, what stood out to him and what hasn't. Greg Upton, director of LSU's Energy Institute, was with us talking about wind and how that's dead for all intents and purposes off the coast of the United States. And J.P. Morrell was here talking about the status of the Plaza Tower. And I say all of that because if you missed any of it, it's as easy as using the Rewind feature. Free Odyssey app has a great feature called Rewind. If you missed part of an interview, stepped away during a breaking news story, just jump back and catch exactly what you missed. Download that free Odyssey app, search for WWL, and listen on your schedule. Rewind, another reason why the Odyssey app belongs on your phone. We'll take a break. We come back. We're going to keep going with Judy Ho, a licensed clinical psychologist, host of the Savvy Psychologist podcast. And I'm going to get your input on this at 504-260-1870. Half of the parents in the United States say they sometimes go through their kids' phones. Do you? Where's the line between snooping, giving them privacy, and keeping them safe? We'll get some answers, get some tips here, your feedback when we come back on WWL.